The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Let's get Gary back on here. Still with us, Gary?
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Did you know Captain Fred Morrow?
No.
Okay, well, he was the charter captain here. He actually had his captain's license for over 40 years, which was the longest-running captain that I know of, you know, as far as, like, you know, doing charters and stuff. But I fished with him off and on through the years, and it was so funny that I'd never chartered him. He actually would just take me fishing. And, you know, when I'd have a day off, and then he'd call me and say, hey, you got such day off. If we had the same day off from charters, then, you know, he'd invite me to go out on his boat. And I think I've got him on my boat like twice, but most of the time he wanted to go on his boat, which I can strictly understand, you know. But great guy. I had a lot of respect for him. And, of course, he's no longer with us, but he was just a great guy. So what was your second question now?
Great answer. The other one would be, if money being no object and you had 7 to 10 days to fish anywhere in the world, where would you choose and why?
I'd probably go down to the Rio Negro, and because I love topwater fishing. And those guys down there throw those 12, 14-inch topwater lures, those big topwater lures, and catch those 20 to 30-pound peacock bass, not like the little ones in Miami. That's in the canals in Miami. These guys catch them. You're talking about a topwater strike. I don't know if you've ever seen it on YouTube. But some of those, it was a guy, there's a particular guy down there named Popcorn. They call him Popcorn. And I don't know what company he's with down there, but if you see him on YouTube channel, you could probably look it up and see, you know, check out him. Topwater strikes from those peacock bass, they just annihilate those lures.
Yeah, it's like a concrete block falling in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it is just unbelievable. And since I love topwater fishing so much, that would probably be my dream.
I would choose the same thing.
Right. My two guys to fish with would be Jack Nicklaus, and I know he's a big fisherman, and I'm a big admirer of his career and his family and the stuff he's done with the Children's Hospital and all that. And my other one would be Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
The stories he could tell, and I love the Beatles and the stories. I could just sit there and listen, stand there and listen to him talk about Beatles stories over the years. It would be fascinating to me.
There's a guy that I can't think. He's a comedian, talk show host that was doing ride-alongs with several people. I cannot think of his
James
name.
Cordell.
That's him.
James Cordell.
Yeah. Did you see the one with him and Paul McCartney?
Yes, I did.
That was a blast. That would have been a dream to be able to ride along like that.
When he was walking around with Paul McCartney, he was trying to, you know, reach out to Paul McCartney. It must be unbelievable to be that famous, you know. Can you imagine to have been a Beatle or Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson? Just, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't have a minute to yourself when you're those guys.
I know, and then whenever they had Paul in that little neighborhood bar, when they'd open the curtain and it was actually him singing, you know, with a band, The people in that bar was just going crazy. That just had to be a blast that day.
You're right. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate your call, Gary. That was some great questions. Never had that before. Captain Fred Morrow, though, was a great all-around. He was a commercial fisherman for years. And then he got his captain's license, started chartering, and back when people didn't really charter captains to go fishing.
Yeah, nearly a pioneer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was just, you talk about a legend, he was a legend. So if you ever talk to some fishermen here, you'll find out that Fred Morrow was a well-liked, well-respected captain. But I appreciate your call, Gary. Now, in your boats, you're talking about taking out six people. Do you ever take out two people?
I do. I've had one person charter my boat.
Oh,
before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They'll come down and they're like, you know what? I don't care that I don't have a crew. I want to go fishing.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, they'll say, I want to go fishing with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it means a lot to me that they feel that way.
Well, and most people, I guess, that do that know that you fished here all your life and, you know.
Yeah.
Your dad's fished here. I mean, has your dad, you know, has he lived here all of his life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He grew up about probably most a half a mile from where I grew up.
Oh, wow.
So we, same property.
Yeah. I remember seeing y'all out there at the, you know, at the jetties a lot of times. We'd be out there fishing side by side and all. And had no idea back then that you was going to be a charter.
I know it.
But
we was out there in a old Palm Beach boat he had named the Muddy Waters, named it after the St. John's River.
Yeah, he's still doing good, I see on Facebook.
Yep, he's been doing some deer hunting, killing a couple of nice bucks this year and a doe or two.
Yeah,
been spending a lot of tree time, so
not fishing much.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, he's not fishing much.
He's waiting for the springtime to get back so he can work them bass over. Nice catching them big bass.
Telling them drummer biting.
Yeah. Yeah, I told him once we get a good weather day, we're going to go out and play with some trigger fish. If we don't have a trip book, we're going to go out there and catch some of them big fat trigger fish. Now, offshore, not 120 to 160 foot of water, you get on them big red porgies, big trigger fish up to 10 pounds, big beeliners. Get sea bass out there sometimes, not too much. You know, some mangrove snapper, mutton snapper, stuff like that.
And trigger fish are great to eat. I mean, sea bass are too and all that. But I tell you, trigger fish, I haven't had trigger fish lately, but it is so, so good. So when you're doing that, going out there, you know, how far out, I mean, like how long does it take? Say if somebody wants to go catch trigger fish and sea bass.
Yeah.
How long of a trip do you suggest that be?
Those are two different trips. So the sea bass are inside typically 30 miles.
Right.
So we can do a sea bass trip on a 4-hour, 6-hour, 8-hour trip. But if you want to go trigger fish, red porgy, stuff like that, then 10-hour minimum. And then we did a 12-hour day too. So the 12-hour, we call that the grocery getter because a lot of times it's going to take me an hour and a half to clean fish once we get back to the dock. But you get a lot of variety and it's constant action. I mean, we've got double rigs, you know, pulling fish up two at a time most of the day.
But I mean, they could do the same things. Ben's both of those fish eat so good. Could they do the same things, sea bass and trigger fish in a day?
They could.
But you more or less
I would have to go offshore, catch the trigger fish and everything else out there, and then come back inshore for the sea bass.
Yeah.
Because out there where you're catching the trigger fish, to go out to get numbers of trigger fish, you're too far for the sea bass.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I was wondering. Because I've never been that far out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the sea bass don't like it deep.
Mm.
Yeah. Trigger fish, they do.
I mean, I've been like, you know, 25, 28 miles out, something like that.
You can get the sea bass there, and you can catch trigger fish in that depth too, but you just don't see the numbers that you see out there in that deep water.
And probably not as big, right?
I mean, yeah, they're not that big. Yeah, and it takes, any more, they move the trigger fish length up to 14 inches, so it takes a pretty nice-sized trigger fish to make that make that length.
How do they bite? How does a trigger fish bite? I mean, I've never caught one, and looking at their mouth, you know, you would think they'd be sort of like a sheephead bite, but,
talking about sheephead and how hard it is to catch a sheephead, a triggerfish is a lot similar to that. He's difficult to catch if you don't know. You got to structure your presentation to his mouth. So a lot of times people are fishing with a 4 or 5-aught hook, circle hook, and then a big chunk of sardines, and they're triggerfish fishing. And, yes, you can catch them like that. Sometimes they're going to accidentally get that hook in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you drop your sardine or a live bait down to the bottom and you get a bite, you bring it back up, and he has a triangle cut into him, that was a triggerfish. That's the shape of his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
So to catch a triggerfish, you have to drop your bait and your hook size down to the size of his mouth, because even a big triggerfish, even a 10-pounder, doesn't have a very big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the sheephead, you go to small hook, triggerfish, small hook, small bait, so he can get it in his mouth and get the hook set.
That's so neat how different fish. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of people think about, you know, just going out and catching fish. I mean, it's not like, it's like I was telling some guys the other day. We did redfish, we did sheephead, we did black drum. Each one of those fish bite differently. And for them to, the way they, you know, I'm explaining to people what you're looking for and all this stuff, and they're like, they don't just take it.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
And a lot of people, they don't understand that you have to change your tactics. Your tackle and your outfits for the species you're chasing.
Right. Yeah.
My wife aggravates me all the time. She says, "Why do you need another fishing pole?" I was like, "Well, because I'm." I said, "You know, I see we're about to get a break."
Yeah, but we'll talk about that too when we come back. 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this.
That That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family-owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like, from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And before we get Robert on here, you was talking about...
Changing your rods to your application. You know, you're not going to snapper fish with a kingfish rod, yada, yada, yada. So my wife will aggravate me. She knows this. And she'll say, why are you buying another rod and reel combo? And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go deer hunting with a squirrel gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to structure your tackle and your equipment to the fish you're chasing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times when we get up there and pull up to Bull Reds, people are like, well, I want to catch one on light tackle. I said, no, we're not doing that. you know, we're going to catch him on the bigger tackle here, but we don't stress those fish out. It didn't take an hour to get him in. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do the same thing for black drum. You know, if we fish in the springtime, we fish for those 8 to 12 pound sheephead in deep water. We're not going to do that on light tackle, you know, because, I mean, getting those fish out, you want to be able to get them up, you know, the ones you're going to release, you want to be able to get them up, take care of them, you know. I vent them, you know, if they need venting, you know, release these fish, revive them if they need to revive. So, you know, it's all in the different tackle, like you say. You're not going to go out there and try to take a little 2,500 reel and catch a 50-pound redfish in 45 feet of water.
Right. I always laugh about it now, but when I first started kingfishing, me and a buddy of mine was out there in a beat-up boat that he had called a Secret Weapon. Mm-hmm. We later named it the Sinking Weapon. But we were out there kingfishing with our big bottom rods and 80-pound monofilament line, and everybody's like, man, why are you fishing with that big stuff? Of course, we didn't know what we were doing way back then, you know, and we're just like, man, we're not out here fishing for sport. We're trying to eat.
Yeah.
We don't want to play with these fish. We try and drag them to the boat and get another one. So thinking of how I think now compared to how we started, it's funny to me now.
Yeah, and that's why you got to have the different rods, different, you know, different reels, different rods, different tackle for just about every different thing you do.
Yeah, you really do.
It really is. Let's get Robert on here. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Captain. I wish I could talk fishing with you, but the doctor still won't let me fish. I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas, you and your family.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was wondering if you, when I saw your name up here, I was wondering if that was you. I was wondering if you were able to get out or not. But Merry Christmas to you, too. You doing better?
Yes, sir. I honestly feel real good. He let me go back to work, but he doesn't want me bouncing around in a boat.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. Get back to tip top and then get out there.
This weather we're having, definitely a good time to bounce around.
Yeah. You don't want to be bouncing around, you know, in the next week or so, I can tell you that. We were just looking at the forecast for this week, and it looks like all the way up through Friday, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be blowing. So we're supposed to have a lot of rain starting, this evening, and then a lot of rain tomorrow, and the wind's going to increase to 30-something miles an hour tomorrow. And then you're looking at, you know, winds. We're going to have some north winds going on, then some northeast, and some north again. It's just going to be kind of a bad week. So, you know, you'd rather be out there fishing probably than shopping this week, the first of this week. But unfortunately, this is not going to be the week to get out there and fish.
No, that's true. And you were talking about Captain Fred. That year, he won the Kingfish Tournament in that little skiff. What size was that little Carolina
skiff? That was a 15. No, that was a Critchfield is the name of that boat. Okay. It was a Critchfield, the little Miss Yvonne. He had a 90-horse motor on it, and it was a 15 foot 6 inches.
Okay, that's what I didn't know the size of it, but I knew he.
Yeah. All these guys in these $200,000 boats were really ticked off that year because he went right off the tip of the South Jetties and chum hole there and caught the wind and fish.
It's great.
You know, some of the guys was heading to Brunswick. Some of them were heading to Canaveral and, you know, all this stuff. And he pulls right off the South Jetties and catches the winning fish. And he pulled right out there and caught him right away, too.
Yeah, what like about that four, all day? 4 gallons of gas.
Yeah. That was really something.
All right, Captain. Hopefully next time I call, I get to say I've been on the water. But I just wanted to let you know and have a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, Robert. Merry Christmas to you, too. And I hope your recovery keeps going really good for you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. And, I bet that was some really hot people. You know, he pulls up there and pulls that fish out of that little old boat.
Yeah. He liked those Critchfield boats, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was that the same make he had at the last boat he had?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, he bought it at Beck's Outboard over there on Broward Road.
Man, they've been over there for a long time.
They have. My dad had went over there, you know, when I was, he had a wooden boat when I was about 8 or 9 years old, little old wooden boat, and had an outboard that he had bought from them. Mm-hmm. And then when I was 12, he bought a glass par. It was GLASPAR. Never seen one since. But he had that glass par, had a closed bow with a windshield, you know, where you'd have to step over the windshield or around it or something, you know, to get on the bow. And I hated anchoring that boat because, I mean, you know, I was the anchor guy, of course.
Right.
You know? But you'd have to get over the windshield to get up there. And my dad never swam a day in his life.
Wow.
He didn't know how to swim. And for him to be in a boat all of his life, that was really something. You know,
that
you
is
would
something.
Think he'd learn how to swim, but
no life jacket, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, man, you know, we had life jackets. He wanted to make sure about that.
But no, see, I'm saying he wasn't wearing it while he was
out
there.
Oh, no, he wasn't wearing it. No, huh? And so it was kind of, you know, comical. And then it got to where after, I don't know, a year or two of that boat, you know, we'd go out there and launch the boat, and he'd sit there and be tying tackle and stuff, and I'd take the boat and drive it to the fishing spot, and because he'd already showed me how to line up and everything. We didn't use no depth finders or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we lined up fishing spots, and you'd line up. You know, it's like nowadays, you know, of course, you're out there where you can't line up on nothing. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, people are like looking at my depth finder like, how can you tell how deep a water we're in? I go, well, because of that tree over there and that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, if the storm ever blows that tree down, I'm going to be in bad shape.
Yeah. I remember my dad bought a, I think it was an 87. I can't remember the year, but it's around an 87 Lancer tri-hull. Mm-hmm. And the fish finder that he bought in it back then was a paper. It was, you had to put paper inside of it, and it was like an EKG machine. It would draw the bottom. That's crazy.
Yeah. The first one my dad got was a needle. It was, all it was a needle going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I mean, you'd sit right there and that thing had bounced so much. It was like, I don't know, my dad got so aggravated.
What are we
thing.
Looking at here?
Yeah, he's like, it's either 30 or 40 feet somewhere in there. It's like, you know, but.
Let's people think pick out radio stations.
Yeah. So it was just crazy. But, you know, when he got his first good depth finder, I mean, he was so proud of that thing. I was probably about 18 or so, 17, something like that. And, you know, that was when it was really, you could really see the bottom better.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember those, oh God, they started with an F, but I can't remember the name brand of it, but where it would have that light, flashing light.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, I can't think of the name.
I had one of those on a bass boat a long time ago. It's a flasher like that. You know?
Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can you tell what it's doing? You know,
I guess the flashing light was supposed to flash at the number of the depth.
Yeah.
So. It's weird.
I know it was so weird. And now the technology nowadays, I mean, my goodness, you got your spots you can mark on there, and then even with the trolling motors, you know, you get up there, you can locate your spots on your trolling motor if you want to. If you get close to it, you just hit your spot on the trolling motor and it leads you over into the spot, you know, and stuff like that. It's just crazy nowadays, you know, with the technology we have. The only thing you know, I think it's missing on these depth finders now, you know, it's telling you what type of fish it's marking, you know. Other than that, you know, it's they're pretty, you know, they've got all, and I don't even know how to operate mine. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I turn it on. If I'm looking at a ledge, looking for a ledge that I don't have a lineup spot on, then, you know, then I'll turn it on. But other than that, it's like I'll go months and months, won't even turn mine on unless I want to look at water temperature.
Yeah, we was talking about the triggerfish earlier. Another fish that reminds me of a triggerfish that you can catch inshore this time of the year, and you guys get them around the jetties too, sheephead fishing, is the ringtail porgy.
Yes.
A lot of times you go offshore and people have dropped their baits down to the bottom. They'll get those little tom tates, the grunts, little pink mouth grunts. They compare to the grunts on the West Coast, but those are the white grunts over there. We don't have those typically here. And actually this year I caught one for the first time in the Atlantic. I was 45 miles offshore, and I caught a legitimate white grunt. In the Atlantic side, the first one I've ever seen over here. But anyway, they'll drop to the bottom. They'll get the grunts. And there's nothing but grunts here. Well, what a lot of people don't know is the other fish are above them, especially the beeliners, the triggerfish, the ringtail porgies. They need to fish above those grunts up on the top. You know,
so we do drop it down and hit and pull it up?
A lot of times if you do that, if the grunts are too thick, the grunts are going to get it before you can pull it up. So I'll start about halfway down, give it about a 20 count, and I'll drop it 10 feet, give it about a 20 count. You know, until I get the bite that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yep.
That's some good information there.
And then trying to mark that depth on your reel, if you don't have a rubber band or if you don't have your string marked or whatever, just take, of course, I'm using the conventional reels. You know, you pull your line over to one side. And,
right.
You know, reel it there a couple of times, you'll be good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because, I mean, having tackle like that, some of the, like, what size line do you use for that?
Oh, I'm using, for the ringtails, if I'm targeting them, I'm going real small. Maybe smaller than triggerfish, like a number size 1 or 2 hook, and then a small piece of cut bait, just a small piece.
And then what size line are you using?
I'm using my little spin fisher combos that I've got, you know, and they've got 30-pound braid. And
then
I go down to 20-pound fluorocarbon shock leader, you know, just to take that cutter line out.
Yeah. And anyway, 222-8255, give us a call. We'll be back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A new poll indicates more than half of Americans do not believe that President Trump should be removed from office, despite the fact that he was impeached with two articles of impeachment by the House this week. The president has agreed to give the State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress February 4th. The president accepted the formal invitation from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who sent him a letter. The invitation was extended just 2 days after the House of Representatives adopted those articles of impeachment. President Trump celebrated the launch of the Space Force on Friday. It's the first new military service in more than 70 years. It was done at a bill signing ceremony at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, part of his signing of the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act that includes the new Space Force. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was up 78 points at 28,455. This is SRN News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, December 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Mosh Winter Discovery Camp Return of Galactic Encounters at the Museum of Science and History. Saturday, December 28th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, December 28th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs, to bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about this.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Up to a 60% chance of showers, cloudy skies, 68 overnight, low near 60. Then 100% chance of rain all day Sunday with a high tomorrow, 70, low Sunday night, 58. That rain will continue through Tuesday with highs into the middle 60s with mostly cloudy nights through next weekend. Overnight lows about 52. And for Christmas, mostly sunny.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Let's get Mr. Chris on. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Boy, that was that cover you put on the Soggy Doggy, did you have that special made?
Yeah, I did. And it's a job to get that on because the cover itself probably weighs like, at least 40 pounds. It's I had them give me the heavy grade material.
Yeah.
And it's got a bunch of reinforcing at a bunch of different spots, like at the bow and the corners and wherever you're going to have a lot of high stress. They reinforced it real good, but it's a lot of work to get it on. And I had to hustle yesterday because, you know, you'd only get a short break between those little misty showers that were coming through.
Oh yeah.
But Chad, been enjoying hearing you chat up talking about offshore. I spent a lot of time out there doing that with that boat that Vic's talking about, the Deep V Hydrosport. But yeah, I was a little bummed to hear that the pinkies and the triggers are so far out now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can get them. You can get the pinkies, and sometimes you can get on the triggerfish good at the right time of the year out around Elton Bottom. But on average, to do any good numbers on those fish, and the pinkies around Elton Bottom, you know, the 40 to 45 mile range, are most times they're pretty small. They got to be 14 inches to the fork to keep them, and that's actually a pretty good size fish to be able to have to keep. But yeah, you got to go out there a pretty good ways to get on any good numbers of them.
Yeah, what is what's the bag on them now? Is it 5?
On the pinkies, it's 3 fish per person, and then the triggerfish. The triggerfish are they're tricky now because they're mixed in. You have to look up. They're in an aggregate with some other reef fish, but they're in a 20 fish aggregate with some other fish. And truthfully, right now I can't even remember all the fish that are in that aggregate. I keep having to look at it too because it's confusing. But yeah. But typically they're in the aggregate bag with other stuff.
Well, they opened up pinkies back when I was hitting the pinkies out there. You can only keep one of them.
Yeah, they changed it to 3 a few years ago.
Yeah, but went up on something. That was good.
They went up on sea bass not too long ago as well. Yeah. They went from 5 to 7, but man, them red snapper, you know, I guess I'll get back on my soapbox here real fast about the snapper. You know, they got the snapper closed, and they got the grouper open. Of course, mm-hmm. The grouper closed January the 1st, which, you know, is great, but... Man, you can't find a grouper hardly. Yeah. No, not inside 45 miles, and even outside that, you don't get good numbers of them.
They're the ones that need protecting, not the red snapper.
Yeah, the red snapper. They're out there. Our sea bass numbers aren't what they have been because the red snapper, guess what they're eating?
Yeah.
Everything, mm-hmm. You know, including the sea bass.
Yeah, that's a bummer because I grew up in Miami, and we had plenty of red grouper. I think we had red, Nassau, and gag down there, and black. And so we had a... I don't know if we had some gags down there, but I know we had black grouper and red grouper down there off the Keys. But we had plenty of them. You could always go out and, you know, toward the latter years, obviously there was a lot more throwbacks. They weren't as big because they got shot off or fished out. But man, I miss eating grouper, but I'm with you, Vic, on that triggerfish. Man, I could eat me some triggerfish.
Yeah.
And to be a goofy shaped and pretty much the ugliest fish out there, you wouldn't think he was designed to be able to pull as hard as they do, but then rascals can pull.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw a sweet YouTube video one day on making short work of filleting out a triggerfish. This guy, he was down in Isle of Mirada or Marathon or something. He had a bunch of them to clean up. And man, and I love this video. I think I bookmarked it. But it's really sweet video to show you an easy way to make short work of that leather skin because, man, they are something else.
Yeah. The way I cut the triggerfish is a regular fish, you go sharp blade down, you know, on the fish. But with a triggerfish, you got to go sharp blade up.
Mm. That's exactly what he was doing, brother.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, it doesn't take long. Yeah. You got to cut him backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope to. Yeah, I'm gonna probably... you know, break the jetties. I haven't gone out beyond like 9 mile in a while, so I'll probably go ahead and do some of those trips this year or the coming up year in 2020 because I so miss the sea bassin, really.
Yeah, the way it looks with this weather sequence that we've got coming up, I think it's going to be next year before anybody gets out there.
It's looking pretty nasty,
brutal.
Yeah, I had a 19-inch sea bass. The biggest one I ever got was 19, and And he tried to pull me overboard because I was using live octopus tentacle for him.
Oh, yeah, and, great bait.
And I'm telling you, man, you put live octopus tentacle down there, it's still wiggling, and yep. and hang on.
It's tough, too. You keep catching fish after fish with it.
I know, yeah. It's almost like some of the plastics, you know? I mean,
the biggest sea bass I've ever seen or caught out there was caught him off of St. Augustine. And he was 21 inches. He was 4.5 pounds.
Oh, man.
Woo! Biggest one I ever seen.
I bet he fought.
Yeah.
Because them things can fight for their size.
Yeah, they can. We call them, we make a joke of it. And I was like, yep, there comes another blue grouper. How you talking about that blue head? I call him a blue grouper. And everybody starts jumping. Yeah, blue. And get the kids going. And the kid's like, we got a blue grouper, blue grouper.
I so miss having good catches of those. Inshore and not having to run out more than 8, 6, 8, 10 miles.
Yeah, and you can still do that.
Good live bottom.
Yeah, so. It should get better between now and March.
I tell you, for some reason, Chris, for some reason, you know where that hole is that's in the rocks on the tip of the South Jetties?
Yeah.
That actual, there's a hole in there about big enough for one boat, you know, to get in.
Yeah.
And we'd catch those big old greenheads in there, and it'd be like 16, 18 inches for about 2 weeks in April for some reason. I never knew why that was.
Yeah, I have caught them. When we were fishing for bull reds, we were getting some keeper size sea bass right there off of the little jetties. Just on the other side of the intercoastal, though, west of Sisters Creek.
Yeah. So.
Back before they gouged up that channel, who knows what the bottom looks like down there now?
Oh, I know, all up and down the river. I mean, they've changed, you know, marker 25 and 27. They've already moved both of those buoys. They've taken out, you know, I don't know for sure, but I bet they've taken out all that structure in there where we used to catch the black drum, the bull reds, and the keeper sea bass right there, you know, at marker 25. All that rock right there, I bet it's gone. Because, I mean, they've moved that buoy probably 300 feet east and about 150 feet south, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been enjoying the show this morning, especially now that I'm going to go ahead and wish you all Merry Christmas and get on off here so Chad can get back giving us all that good info that he was doing right before I called in. I was enjoying listening to that, except for the fact that the pinkies and triggers are seem to be going out further and further.
Yeah, that's right. I was looking at my phone here just to confirm what I was saying about the bag limit. And the app that I use is called Fish Rules, and it's updated by the government, and it gives you state rules and federal regulations based on where you are on the map. It goes on your GPS coordinates on your phone and gives you the regulations.
That's good.
It's a great app to use. There's a blue background with a black grouper is the icon, and it's a really good app.
And what is it called again?
Fish Rules.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got it on my phone right now. Yeah. And it is. I like the fact that it's active. It's an active app that gets updated.
Yeah, the only catch to that is some of the fish that you look at when you're in federal waters, such as a triple tail, it'll tell you there's no federal regulations, which will make you think that you can. There's no size limit, there's no bag limit, yada, yada, yada. But whenever that application shows that to you, then you have to go with state rules because you got to bring those fish back through state waters to get to the dock. So if it says no federal regulations, then you fall back to the state regulation for that fish.
Yeah, that's I've been using that app now for probably 2 years, and I think it's the best app I've used.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway, let me get out of here. Here's the music start, but Merry Christmas, guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Chris.
Merry Christmas.
Chad, welcome aboard. Glad you jumped on the show there.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Take care,
appreciate
brother.
It, Chris. I'll be morning. Talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 222-8255 is the number to call us, and we're going to be talking about more. We got one more segment to do here. Be sure we get, get you a pen and paper. Get ready to write down Captain Chad Starling's information here. So you can get out there, give your family, and enjoy a trip out there. And as soon as this weather gets blown by, they're going to be right on them again. We'll be right back.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hooker's offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. So anyway, let's put your phone number out there, Cap.
Oh, 904-502-7408. The website is teambuckrogers.com.
And you look at Facebook, get on.
Yeah, we got a Facebook page. I invite you to come like the Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/teambuckrogers. Got a YouTube channel. We're going to try to put some more content on there now. I'm pretty much a one-man show. And so are my guys whenever they go out, so it's hard for us to record a lot of video. We try to take a bunch of pictures, and we'll send the customer the pictures that we take. You know, of course, we don't charge nothing for that. We want them to have those to share with as many people as they can. But I do take videos sometimes and put them on YouTube channels, /teambuckrogers as well. Invite you to come subscribe to the channel. We'd love to have you. And if you ever have any questions, whatever, and any videos you'd like us to do, we'd love to try to entertain that. Just shoot us an email, teambuckrogers3@gmail.com. All that information is on the website, and be open to any suggestions that you guys have. We'd like to give the contents you're looking for.
Good. Yeah, man. And so anyway, right after, say, this blow goes through, what all are you going to be targeting?
Hopefully with all this blow, of course, you know, it's going to bring the water temperature down. We've had some cold weather. You know, you get those seas picked up, you know, get those white caps and the cold water can, or cold air
cold
can
air.
Actually get into the water. So you can expect the water temps to drop. Hopefully the water temps dropping is going to bring the black sea bass down. They'll start stacking up. So we're going to be, you know, the short trips, we're going to be catching and releasing red snapper. We're getting fish up to 20, 25 pounds sometimes. So a lot of people, you know, they're just looking to have a good time. They'll go out there, kick in 10, 15, 20 bucks a head and have a one boat tournament. You know, whoever gets the biggest fish gets the pot, you know, and catch some black sea bass and ringtails, pick up a cobia here and there. You still stand a chance on a grouper. Of course, they close on January the 1st, but it still goes into the winning pot for the big fish. And, you know, the longer days, like we were talking about, the beeliners, the trigger fish, the bottom fishing is where we're at right now. The wahoo are starting to show up. There's already been some big wahoo caught. You know, that's a 12-hour trolling day, so we'll be going out there doing some of that. And the good thing about the wahoo is the distance that you have to travel to fish for those guys. If the wahoo aren't biting, then you're already out there in the right depth for the trigger fish, the porgies, the beeliners, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So regardless, you can come back with a good-looking box of fish.
And I just got a text about cuttlefish. Do you ever use cuttlefish for trigger fish?
I use it every day.
Every day? There you go.
Yep. Cuttlefish is some of the best bait there is. Very tough, hard to get off the hook.
Yeah.
And when you're fishing for trigger fish, a bait that's hard to remove is some of the best bait that you can use. And my favorite trigger fish bait is cut bait. It's free, and it works great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you say it's free, you just catch it while you're out there.
You know? Yeah. Then little grunts that you catch, you know. Any fish that doesn't have a regulation on it, you can use
for
cut bait. So we just cut them grunts up and use them for bait. It works great.
Yeah, and so, you know, after that, you're going to be doing also a wahoo seminar January the 22nd. It's on a Wednesday. So if you'd like to learn more about wahoo and about his trips and stuff, you can come out and listen to him. It's 6 p.m. on Wednesday, January 22nd at 57 Heaven. And they're calling these the West Bank Seminars over there. Mark Fiegel's putting it on. Come on out, have some free food and, you know, listen to Captain Chad, and I'm sure that Mark's going to arrange get at least something for a raffle drawing. So come on out and enjoy yourself and listen to that. 6 p.m. on January 22nd, 57 yep. Heaven, which is just into Orange Park right there, just south of I-295.
Yeah, it's always a good time over there. I enjoy going over there doing those seminars. A lot of good people come over there.
Yeah, I have too. He said he was going, you know, didn't want to do it after Thanksgiving, you know, because all the holidays and everything, you know, for the people having to deal with, you know, all the shopping, all the family, you know, usually coming in and out of town and stuff. So anyway, having them start back up in January, that's great.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing that we've been doing offshore. I guess I am changing the channel, but getting back on fishing is this time of the year. You know, a lot of times people will get confused that the shark fishing is more of a summertime deal.
Yeah.
But, man, this winter has, and this summer too, we've lost so many kingfish and everything else, cobia, snapper, to sharks this year. It got so bad sometimes we would have to move our place because the sharks, big old tiger sharks and bull sharks, everything was coming and grabbing the kingfish right on top of the water behind the boat. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Great video. Wish I would have got some, but it was great. But, man, we've been getting a lot of sharks this time of the year, too, bottom fishing offshore.
So oh, wow.
People come down. I had a group from Montana a couple weeks ago, and we were catching a bunch of bluefish, you know, jigging those up. And they were having fun catching those and bottom fishing, and the sharks showed up. So we just started putting big baits down with wire leaders and catching those sharks, man. They were having a blast.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, you know, catching them things. I know at the jetties, you know, this summer and all, it got to where the sharks are so big, especially in bull sharks. They've gotten so big, I guess because they're protected so much, you know.
Right.
That, you know, used to we'd go out there and we'd catch them 4 to 6 foot long. Some of them bull sharks are huge now.
Yeah.
They're coming up in the jetties and, you know, and around the, I mean, inside the jetties and in the river and all.
Yeah. They'll go all the way into fresh water, the bull sharks will.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me that the size of them and the quantity of them anymore. You know, when they regulate a fish and they protect it so much, it just seems like they would look at something, you know, of course, like the red snapper, to where when the population has grown so much that it's, you know, like you're talking about, they're eating the sea bass. They're eating every little fish they can get a hold
of.
I mean, so, you know, they're wiping out other species. It's not, you know, that next thing you know, you're going to hear them say the sea bass is overfished, but it's not necessarily overfished. It's everything else is eaten.
Yeah, it's overeaten is what it is.
Yeah, and the sharks are doing this too. I mean, everything that they look at, I don't think they even look at what the sharks eat. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we catch those bull reds and stuff like that before you can get them to the boat. I mean, it's a shame to catch a 40-pound bull red and have a shark come up and eat half of him.
Yeah, know? I think this year I've seen more pictures of half-eaten redfish, mm-hmm. you know, in the river, way up in the river.
Yeah.
Where the sharks are getting them.
Yeah, so I stopped fishing for them at the jetties in the summertime because of that reason. I don't want to kill them just to catch them, mm-hmm. you know. Because we want to take care of them and everything. So we do it up the river. And luckily this year we've had to move on up the river further because, yeah. like you're talking about, the bull sharks come on in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think any of this, you know, the assessments they do and all, I have not seen anything mentioned about, you know, some of the fish being eaten by other fish. It's always overfished.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, none of the regulations they make have made any common sense to me. And I would at least like one rule to make some common sense to me. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly. I want to remind everybody about the fishing tournament, the Wahoo fishing tournament they're going to have in January for Brian McClooney and his wife, Stephanie. Brian was one of the firefighters that got lost offshore. So anyway, the tournament's going to be called Fishing for the Boys. Look at it for your Facebook page. January 18th and 19th. Captain's meeting's on January the 14th at 7 p.m. You can call Josh at 904-864-1155. That's 864-1155. And, you know, you can check it out on Facebook and, Fishing for the Boys. So check that out or even donate. If you can't fish it, you know, donate to it. This is, you know, a really good thing for, their family. You know, it's such a shame all that happened with them. Guys got lost offshore. But anyway, come see Chad at the seminar on January 22nd and go fishing with Captain Chad. Now, you got three boats. I know you got, who's it, Denny Young does one of them?
Oh. No, I've got a couple of firemen, Captain Mike. I got Captain Chad. I got another Captain Mike and a JD.
Oh, okay. So, Captain Chad, is that not you?
Nope, I got two Captain Chads, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're great guys, a lot of first responders, and they do a great job.
Oh, good,
they're great
good.
With the kids, and, yeah, they're some great folks.
All right. And then also you can also arrange, like your ad says, you can arrange for even multiple, you know, more boats than that. Just give you the more notice possible. I know that when I do multiple boats like that, you know, the further notice you have, the more you can arrange that because, you know, you have to get with other captains and make sure they're open on the same days. So, when you're trying to arrange, you know, three, four, five boats together, you want to make sure that you can, you know, get enough notice that you can get all these guys on open dates so you get, put it all together.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The earlier people always ask me, how much time do I have to book a trip? Depends mm-hmm. on the time of the year. Of course, yep. this time there's more availability. Summertime is really getting busy. Mm-hmm. Luckily with the three boats, we do have more availability, you know, coming down to the last minute where yep. we can afford to, you know, wait a little bit longer, but still prefer earlier the better.
Yeah. All right. And, what's your number again?
Number 904-502-7408. Come fishing with us. Let's make friends, and I'd love to have you.
I appreciate it, Kevin. Appreciate you coming in and doing the show with me.
I appreciate you having
me. A lot
of
good information. A lot of good information you put out there. All right, tune us in next week. We'll be back, same time. Merry Christmas to everybody. And I can mention a Happy New Year next week. So
there you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Y'all have be safe and enjoy your families on the holiday. And we'll see you next week.